Normally, Pastor Paul comes up and introduces me, but that didn't happen today, so it kind of made me feel like I made it, maybe, a little bit. But then I thought twice about it, and I'm like, he probably comes up and introduces me as a disclaimer, like, in case this guy really bombs and fails, it's like, oh, it's just a youth pastor, and he only does this once in a while. So maybe I haven't made it yet. But that's me. I'm Kyle. I'm the youth pastor here. I get to do this every once in a while, and it's a privilege. It's an honor. I take it seriously, and I love to do it. And so I hope today to inspire you to faith and to just go out there and do radical things for Jesus. As you can see, there are no images up, and so I'm a really bad millennial. Because I know that as a millennial, people need to look at stuff. But then I thought about this thing called the imagination that I remember using back in the day. And so I think we could do that, right? You guys can use your imagination as I preach. You can picture things in your head. So no images. All right. So those are my two disclaimers for the morning. And I wanted to share this, too, before I started. I was praying last night, and I asked God to kind of surprise me with something this morning, something that was sort of out of the ordinary. And he did in a couple ways, but the biggest way was the song that Jesse sang for special music. And Doreen's probably laughing already. But when we were in Camden, the inner city ministry I did, in New Jersey, we worked in an after-school program, and our director was, you know, this really faithful guy, loved to take risks, and he said he had this dream about, you know, all our kids kind of holding up their candle and being lights in a dark city, because Camden is a really dark city. It's really impoverished, and there's a lot of crime, and so he had this idea to sing that song, and we would all hold, like, flashlights. And then all the kids would come in, and they'd be holding up, like, lights and stuff. And so he came up to us with this idea, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's the stupidest idea ever. I'm like, these kids are just going to laugh at us. You know, I'm up on stage with my candle and, like, kind of swaying. And so we did it. And it didn't go all that great. The kids did indeed laugh at us, and I kind of look silly. But I look back on my life, and that was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And it was kind of like immature of me to think that was silly. But now I appreciate stuff like that because as I've grown in my faith, I've realized that sometimes we have to risk looking silly. You know, sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zone and take a risk for God. And I would just thank you, God. I just want to thank him in front of you guys for reminding me of that when Jesse sang that song. So that was a really cool thing. So as you can kind of guess, I'm going to be talking about faith, and specifically, you know, stepping outside of our comfort zone and taking risks for Jesus, doing something that might make us look silly. And so I asked the kids in Sunday school this morning, because they always inspire me, the youth, and I asked them, I said, when was the last time you did something faithful for God? Something that was out of the ordinary, something where you did it and you were like, wow, I can't believe I did that. And so I ask you guys the same question to think about that. When was the last time you really took a step of faith? You know, you did something that you were sort of unsure about, but you just believed and trusted God. So that's a hard thing to think about, and I struggled thinking about some of the things that I've done. But the kids gave some great answers. Two I want to highlight. Reagan Dunn, she shared that this one time she had a friend from her Lexington Youth Theater, and just the guy seemed really down. And she knew he was mad at her, but she also felt like there was maybe more going on. Like he's normally an upbeat guy, and he was just really upset. And so she just on a whim and through faith decided to text him and say, hey, are you okay? And I guess this guy just unloaded on her and said that he's having all these issues at home with his family and he's going through a lot of hard times. Later Reagan found out that he was having suicidal thoughts. And that text helped him to be hopeful and to know that someone cared about him. Another story, Kate and Dally, she said that there was a new kid in her class, and he was kind of scary looking. And so a lot of the kids in her school didn't really want to approach him, thought he was different and just a little bit nervous about talking to him. But Caden felt led that, you know, hey, no one else is going to talk to this guy. I'm going to go and be his friend. And now she's friends with him and comes to find out he's a really nice guy and he's funny. And he recently said to her, hey, I appreciate you being my friend. Not a lot of people were being friendly to me, but you were. So those are little things, right? Those are little small ways, faith decisions that can have a huge impact. So my hope is to inspire you guys to have those kind of stories so we can share them and we can praise God and for them. And it can be contagious so that, you know, we hear stories, we get inspired, and we ourselves want to be like that. So the sermon is titled, and I ripped this off of an Alliance core value. If you guys have taken the CMA DNA class, it's there's one of the core values of the CMA, which we have core values over there, but the Christian and Missionary Alliance, our denomination, has core values. And this one is my favorite. It says, achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. I'll read it again. Achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. So faith is a loaded word. But the best definition obviously comes where else? Scripture. And that's from the book of Hebrews, where I'll be speaking out of. And this is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So with that, we all understand that. That's easy, right, to get. You know, we have faith in things we can't see. We're confident about what we're faithful in, and we have hope. But follow with me on these faith statements, and let me know, based off of that definition, if you agree on these things. I am confident that Jesus rose from the dead, therefore I have hope for a new future, spending eternity with God in heaven. Do we all agree with that? Okay. Even though I cannot see God with my own eyes, I believe he is with me, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. Agree? All right. Although the world is a really dark place full of evil, I'm confident and hopeful that God will one day restore it all to the way it was intended to be without sin. Good. All right. So that was my first set of kind of like doctrinal beliefs. Now follow me on these ones, all right? You don't have to say yes or no, but just I want you to think about these following statements. And you guys hopefully will get where I'm going with this sermon. Because I have faith that God is faithful to me, and I believe that he will provide for all my needs, I'm going to take a risk and give 10% of my income to my local church. Because I have faith that God's Holy Spirit is in me, I'm going to share my faith with my neighbor. God will give me the right words to say. Because I have faith that God is a just God, I will stand up to my coworker who is taking advantage of other people. Because I have faith that Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples, I'm going to enter in a discipleship relationship and commit to making disciples. Do you guys see a little bit of a difference with those first set of statements and the second ones? I'm sure you didn't have any issues agreeing with me on all those things. And you probably agreed in theory with the second set of statements, but do we practice our faith? Is it lived out? Are we behaving in such a way that what we believe in is consistent with how we act? So how does your life reflect your beliefs? Are there some inconsistencies? Well, my hope today is to inspire you to take a step toward faith, toward taking risks for God's purposes. So let me make you some guarantees in the next 15, 20 minutes, right? Like, you hear those commercials. I guarantee if you read this book, you will be stress-free. Or if you take this pill tomorrow, you will lose 800 pounds, right? So I'm going to make you some guarantees. But no, they're not guarantees because I can't make those. But I'm going to make commitments to you. So in the next 15 or 20 minutes, I commit to doing the following. I commit to giving you some ideas about why you aren't taking radical steps of faith. I commit to, in this message, give you some tools that will lead you to more faith-filled choices. And lastly, I commit to challenging you for you to commit to doing something out of your comfort zone for God's kingdom in 2018. Are we good? You guys got those guarantees? Take them to the bank. Christians used to be called followers of the way, right? Like in Acts, they called them the way. And my hope is that the church in the future can be categorized like that, not just as a group of people with a set of doctrinal beliefs, but a group of people who live out their faith and act differently. So that's really where I'm at, and I hope you guys can feel the same way about that. So if you guys want, again, nothing's on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11. I know I preached out of Hebrews the last time. I think it was chapter 10. So in 10 years, I'll have preached through the whole book of Hebrews, if we keep going at this rate. All right. Starting in verse 1. You guys probably know this chapter. It's a very famous chapter in the Bible. All right. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen and was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So I wanted to give some highlights. If you read the rest of the chapter, and if you haven't read it, I suggest it. It's like a highlight reel of the Bible. And I just wanted to share some of my favorites. Abel, so that's Cain's brother and Adam and Eve's son. He was a shepherd. And he, by faith, brought his best portions of sacrifice to the Lord. Enoch, by faith, Enoch did not experience death. God, transported him up to heaven. And he was described as walking in close fellowship with God. I love that. I want to be described that way. To have said, Kyle walked in close fellowship with God. Noah, by faith, built a huge ark in order to save humanity from the flood. Abraham, by faith, went to a brand new, unknown place as part of God's plan to bless the nations. Sarah, by faith, kept trying to have a child despite being told she was not going to conceive. She trusted in God's promises. Moses, by faith, he joined his people, the oppressed people, in a fight for freedom. He chose that side over a life of comfort and prestige. And Rahab, by faith, she risked her own life for God's purposes, and her own life was spared because of her faith. So this is all really inspiring stuff. Are you guys inspired? I am always very inspired by this. It's faith igniting. I really love this chapter. But Like us, these characters had flaws. They had obstacles that got in the way of their great examples of faith. They probably had all these faith-filled small choices to make before they had to do the big one. You know, this is a small tangent, but I'm really struck when I read the Bible that we only get, like, you know, the big events. We don't get into the everyday lives of these people. You know, even Jesus, right? Like the Gospels, it's not telling us every second of his life what's happening. It's not like Facebook Live, you know, we follow Jesus around even when he's doing the boring stuff. So I wonder, you know, like Enoch, for example, all it says is he walked with God. So what was he doing, you know, Monday morning at 8 o'clock? Did he get up to pray? Did he help people? You know, I wonder if he ever got in a fight with his siblings or if he, you know, had a conflict with the villagers about crops. So I say that for a point, because we look at this stuff and we look at these people and it's a little unrealistic, but we forget it's just a highlight. You know, they had struggles like we do. They just weren't recorded. Anyway, tangent done. That's just something that I'm struck by when reading the Bible. But it's important for us to realize that every single day, there's important faith decisions that we can make. They don't have to be crazy ones like parting the Red Sea. So are you guys ready to take a step out into faith? Are you wanting to do something awesome for God to change lives? Well, let's look at what is getting in your way. What are some obstacles? The number one obstacle that gets in the way of faith is unbelief. All right, that's kind of obvious, right? Faith is all about believing. Therefore, the enemy of faith should be not believing. So it's easy to conceptualize that and think about it. However, it is very extremely difficult to see unbelief in our own hearts and in our own lives. Just try to think about that for yourselves. Let me give you some examples of what unbelief looks like. So if you have a feeling you want to take a step out of your comfort zone and, let's say, take sharing your faith with your neighbor, you know, talking about, share your testimony. Or maybe another example is this. Maybe you feel led to lead devotions in your family because there's a lot of turmoil at home. There's so much conflict, and you just want to inject some spiritual conversation into your house. Some thoughts that probably roll into your head are, oh no, I wouldn't even know how to share my faith. Or, I can't talk to my neighbor about that. Anytime I have something really serious to say, it just never comes out right. I wouldn't even know where to start. Or for the person who felt led to share devotions, maybe you're thinking, there's no way my family will listen to me. There's no way they'll take me seriously. They'll think I'm a hypocrite. I'm not even a good teacher. How can I even do that? Where do I start? So you might think these are, they sound like insecurities, and they are, but really they are forms of unbelief. They're forms of unbelief. I'll explain that in a second, but I want to highlight someone in the Bible who struggled with unbelief. Moses, right? Guy who made the list, one of the big heroes of the faith. Recorded in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, God reveals himself to Moses in the burning bush. We all know this story, right? So God reveals himself, he's in the burning bush, and he challenges Moses with this huge, impossible mission to go and set the people free, to go back to Egypt and get the oppressed people and bring them out and to be a part of God's plan. But how did Moses respond to this? Kind of like some examples I gave before. Moses said things like, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead these people? What if the Israelites don't listen to me? What if they don't believe me? God, I'm terrible with words. I get tongue-tied. Certainly, you have the wrong guy for this mission. Again, they sound like insecurities. But what is Moses really saying? He's saying, God, I don't believe in your decision-making abilities because you chose me. God, I don't believe you can influence the heart of other people. God, I don't believe you made me for a purpose. You and I, until we're blue in the face, we could say we trust God in His, we believe in His goodness and His promises. But at the end of the day, we still battle with unbelief. And it is keeping us from stepping out in faith by taking risks for God's purposes. So how do we battle this unbelief? Stay tuned. I'll tell you at the end of the sermon. Got to make sure you guys are still awake. The second biggest obstacle of us making awesome faith-filled risk for God's purposes is routine. Right? There's some other words for it, but we'll just, in a positive way, call it routine. There's a picture in our library, and I'm in the library a lot, at least twice a month for board and elder meetings, so I get to look around and study the room. But this picture, it just like, I'm always drawn to it, and it's a, and it has the core value on there, achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risk. This always involves change. It has that title, but the big picture is a carabiner, you know, like for rock climbing people. If you guys went to Power Time Camp, you know, like en belay, and they got to hook you into this carabiner. And I'm like, well, why is that picture associated with that value? But then I thought about it, okay, rock climbing is risky. You know, it's a little scary. So it's perfect, you know, taking faith-filled risks. It's like kind of like rock climbing. So anyway, that picture, it always strikes me. But the part that I want to highlight is that last part, taking risks, faith-filled risks, always, always involves change. Unwillingness to change is a huge obstacle when it comes to taking faith-filled risks. Call it what you want, routine, complacency, or rigidity. Basically, it is an unwillingness to change that is oftentimes our enemy. For Abraham and Noah, this was a giant that stood in their way from taking a faith jump for God. I wonder what their wives and their children and their coworkers said to them when they told them what God was calling them to. Go where, Abraham? I never even heard about that place. You have everything you need here. Your kids can grow up in this land and inherit this place. Or you're going to build what, Noah? Your life is good. Why waste your time building a boat? What if that wasn't God who said that to you? What if your imagination was playing tricks on you? Think of all that time you're going to waste. Is it honestly worth the risk? Such a waste of time. These guys were both experiencing somewhat normal lives for their time period. And both were called to go from normalcy, comfort, routine, to the unknown, to potential chaos, to change. Some of you cringe, right, at that six-letter word, change. It might bring up some negative thoughts and feelings politically or from a spouse or from a big corporation you used to work for. I'm not preaching to you today that all change is good and okay. However, I'm saying that if we fear change and if we fight it tooth and nail, it will never lead to us making leaps of faith, to taking risks for God. The Pharisees were an unfortunately great example of this. They were married to the status quo. They put their faith in their routine, in their religious system. We, however, cannot ignore their mistake. We can't. Follow them here. An unwillingness to change leads to a hardened heart. A hardened heart leads to self-righteousness and hypocrisy. This logic comes from me reading the Gospels and studying the Pharisees. It also comes from me knowing my own heart. Right? I know that about Kyle. I've been there. I've been unwilling to change before. I know what that leads to. Are you so married to your routine and comfort that you have the inability to get on board with what God is doing in your life and in the lives of people around you? Yes, we serve an unchanging God. the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I know that. I believe that with all my heart. But this same unchanging God uses words to describe you and me like born again and new creation. These are changed words. Our growth in Christ-likeness and our ability to be used by God and step out in faith is directly tied to our willingness or our unwillingness to change. So enough with the obstacles, right? I've given you the things that are facing you guys that are keeping you from your faith-filled risks. What about things you can add to your life? What can you do? What tools can you use to be put in a position to be Hebrews 11 worthy, to take a step out in the faith? Well, the first thing you can do, how about inject faith into every small aspect of your life? Your finances, maybe your diet, your exercise routine or lack thereof, your activities outside of work, your relationships at work, your relationships in your home. So what do I mean by this, injecting faith? I mean, do something a little bit different. Do something outside of your comfort zone. Do something that God is leading you toward. Dorian and I started a plant-based diet 4 or 5 months ago. Stay with me here. I'm not promoting any particular diets from the pulpit. But I was like, there's no way I can go without meat. I ate meat like twice a day. I said, no, I can't do that. And then after some time, we talked about it and, you know, prayed, and I was like, all right, you know what, I'm going to take a step out of faith and do it. And it's been a really positive, good change for us. My mother, she's a fifth grade teacher, and she's had some really, really challenging classrooms the past 3 years. You know, the administration always gives her the challenging kids because she's nurturing, right? Some of you teachers know what I'm talking about. But this year, she decided, you know, to be proactive and take a different approach. And she's decided to do mindfulness activities with her kids. You know, so she figured in the beginning of the class period, she should do some fun activities to get her kids to focus, to get their minds right, to visualize doing the right thing. And there are all these different fun activities you can do to get these kids in a good mind state. And you know what? This year is the best year she's ever had. And the mindfulness activity is going great. But she had to take a step of faith to do that, right? That was something a little bit different that she did before. But my mom's, she's been feeling led by God to just not only teach her kids reading and social studies and writing skills, but to instill hope in them and to instill confidence in them and to love them with the love that comes from God. So her feeling led towards that has led her to make some faith-filled risks. In a practical sense, this might look like taking a risk with giving your money away. Maybe you don't really give much money away at all. In 2018, you could take a step out of your comfort zone and start giving because God has given you everything. These are small faith decisions, right? Little things, but they snowball. That's how it works. You know, if you can make a faith decision here, you could do one here and here and here and so on and so forth. What about your relationships? Can you inject faith in your relationships? Are there some dysfunction in your relationships, some cycles with family members that you always just find yourself in the same pattern where you guys are screaming and yelling at each other? You know, that cycle keeps happening. Right? How do you break that cycle? Well, it's forgiveness is one. But you have to take a step of faith and do something different. Right? Maybe you treat that person different. Maybe you don't make a passive-aggressive remark this time. You know, think about that. Inject some faith into those things and you'll see change. Right? We got to take a step out and then God's going to bless that. And it's going to be like you got to trust him though. Right? We have to trust him. Second thing we can do after injecting faith is we seek God, right? That's pretty simple. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So how do we seek the kingdom first? How do we seek God? I don't have any groundbreaking revelation for you here. Sorry, guys. But we pray. We read the Bible. We like do what Enoch did. We walk closely with God, right? Spiritual disciplines, ooh, that's scary. I know we don't like discipline. We don't like that word. But what really is a spiritual discipline? You know, I have a different way of looking at it. It's worship. Spiritual discipline is worship. Because what you're doing is you're choosing to take your time and do something godly. Do something with God other than do something that you yourself want to do. That's worship. Worship is accepting and knowing and believing and doing something that basically says, God, you're number one. I'm beyond that, right? That's all a spiritual discipline. It's a form of worship. It's also a form of readiness, right? If we worship in a way with spiritual discipline, we're putting ourselves in a position to hear from God and to get nudged to do something faithful, to take a risk. So let me give you some spiritual disciplines in case you didn't know them. There's the ones that are like denying ourselves or abstaining, fasting. Choose a period of time, maybe one meal or two, and skip it. Spend that time in prayer. Spend that time meditating on Scripture. Talk about taking a faith-filled risk, right? I know some of you already just tune me out. The idea of skipping a meal sounds like death, right? That's probably a good thing. It should be scary. Taking risks are scary. How about silence and solitude? Take 10 minutes out of your day to be quiet. No music, no phone, no TV, no noise. Meditate on one verse or a passage. Ask God to speak to you and just say, I'm going to listen to you, God. Shut all the noise out. Maybe go outside and be in nature. I did this last year with my high school boys, and they loved it. They're like, can we do this every time? I said, we're going to go out for 10 minutes and be quiet. It took them like 7 to just calm themselves down, but once they got calm, they loved it. They were like, they wanted to do that. You know, probably it's because they never experienced that. They never experienced that quietness. So these are just a couple of ways of denying ourselves. You know, when we deny ourselves, all we're saying to our flesh is, no, you're not the loudest voice, right? God's voice has to say, I can do things for God. I don't have to just give in to my flesh desires all the time. How about adding stuff? You know, the big three, right? Bible study, prayer, worship. Pretty much just having a time of devotion to start your day or in the middle of your day or at the end of the day. I'm not suggesting to do these things as a religious check system so that you can say, God, I'm a good boy or girl because I read my Bible today. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you to do these things so that you can better hear from God, so that you can strengthen your faith by battling unbelief, and so that you can do some awesome Hebrews 11 stuff, because you have to do these things to put yourself in a position, right? So I know I told you I would give you some pointers on battling unbelief, and this is where spiritual disciplines aren't enough. In order to battle unbelief, you will have to move past denying yourselves and having a good routine of Bible study, prayer, and worship. And you will have to give yourself a chance for God to reveal his glory to you. Give yourselves a chance for God to reveal his glory to you. After Jesus turned water into wine, John wrote that what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus revealed his glory, the disciples believed. Time and time again, Jesus did this. He did this through miracles or his authoritative teaching. So how can God reveal his glory to you? You and I will have to take some steps of faith in order to allow God's glory to be seen. Why does it work that way? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. We want to see a miracle, yet we don't pray for it. We want to see our sister stop being petty, yet we can't forgive her for something she did 15 years ago. We want our friends to stop cussing, yet we ourselves aren't willing to change the way we speak. We can't stand the bully at our school, yet we refuse to stand up for for those being bullied. You see what I'm getting at here? Live out your faith. Do something about your convictions, and then watch God's glory revealed through that. Your belief will be stronger than your unbelief, because you will have seen and experienced God's goodness and God's grace. Don't worry, I'm landing here soon. We're almost done. Sometimes when we read these Bible stories, it can seem so far removed, right? It's almost like watching the Avengers. I know some of my youth are going to like that. Like these heroes, they're cool to follow, and they're cool to talk about, and they're cool to be fans of, but we can't relate to them. We can't do what they do. I understand that. I oftentimes feel like I'm just a fan of these Bible characters. Even missionaries sometimes, right, they can feel like that, like larger-than-life special people. Not common like us here in Lexington. You know who are just as inspiring to me as Noah, Rahab, and Abraham? Lindsay and Christy. You know, Lindsay, who decided to step out of her comfort zone and go even a place to where her friends weren't going. You know, she took a faith-filled risk there. And Christy, who prays in this place where there's so much sin and depravity around her, and she can't see change, but she still prays because she believes there's something going on that she can't see. She does that by faith. Or Al Bozenberg, who decided to go back on the mission field after being retired. Or Pastor Paul and Dawn, who by faith decided to become foster parents. And now two boys' lives will never be the same on earth and in eternity. Or Emily Tysinger, who by faith decided to serve hot chocolate to people who are sledding down our hills. Or Bev Arnold, who by faith sends everyone a birthday card and a note of encouragement. Or Jeff Foster, who by faith decided to head up the church basketball league, which is a headache, so that the youth groups in Davidson County can get a chance to reach out kids we wouldn't normally get to reach. Or Cody Furr, who by faith decides to run an open gym so unchurched people can get in our building and hear the word of God and play basketball. Or Pastor Ben, who decided by faith to become the associate pastor, to build a discipleship engine at our church. I could go on and on. You guys inspire me. And you know what's so cool about faith-filled risk within the local body? It's contagious. You never know how your faith may inspire someone to take one of their own faith-filled risks. And not only that, but we can't begin to understand how our small faith-filled risk can play a part in God's sovereign purposes. I was reminded of this while watching It's a Wonderful Life. I think you guys know that movie. George Bailey, he wishes he was never born. And he gets to see what happens to the whole world if he wasn't born. Spoiler alert, it's not good. Right? George Bailey had a huge impact on the world around him. You can make a small decision, a small leap of faith empowered by the Holy Spirit that can have eternal implications. It is in the unseen in which we have faith. If we have faith in an unseen God, we must have that same level of faith that our actions create unseeable effects. Like I said, I could go on, and I wish I could shout out everyone, but I'm inspired. We have some Hebrews 11 worthy faith heroes among us. How about you? What will you do in 2018 to step out of your comfort zone and take a faith-filled risk for God's kingdom? I challenge you, as you reflect this afternoon and tonight with your family, when you celebrate New Year's, to think about it. Genuinely ask God where He wants you to take a leap of faith. And once you land on that thing, once you realize what it is, Do it. Take a step. It's going to be scary. It's going to feel weird. You're going to have 1,000 reasons not to do it. But do it. Your faith will grow. God's glory will be revealed through that. Would you pray with me and ask God's help for this? God, I thank you that you are faithful to us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that there's certain things and promises we believe that are true, but sometimes we don't behave that way. We behave as if we have no faith. We behave as if we have no trust. So, Lord, I pray right now for each person that you give them revelation of one small thing they can do. Maybe it's inside the church. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at a nonprofit organization. Wherever it is, God, I pray that you give them revelation into that one small step that they can take to do something for your kingdom. Lord, and I pray that you empower them by the Holy Spirit to actually do it, to not just dream about it and think about what if I could do this, but to give them the courage to actually do it. Because we know, God, that we don't have to do these things on our own. It's you that inspires faith. It's you that gives us the courage and the boldness to do it. So, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we love you. We thank you for being among us. We thank you for speaking. And we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.